Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Slaughter Podcast will be discussing topics that some listeners may find disturbing.
If you're still with us, you've got questionable taste.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 8 of Slaughter.
We're Lucy and Emma and we're going to tell you about some murders from the UK. It's nearly Christmas, countdown has begun.
Yep.
And I'm so not excited.
I've bought nothing.
No, me neither. I can't face it. I can't face town when it's busy.
I hate everyone.
I hate all the people. If you are a new listener, you can catch us on Twitter at SlaughterThePod and on Facebook, type in S'Laughter and the group will come up and you can add yourself to that and I'll approve you. I was thinking the other day about what the difference between the Twitter group and the Facebook group is. But I feel like Twitter's like almost shouting about murder in a big room where loads of people are there, at your friend across the other side of the room, and it's really, really busy, and most people didn't come there for murder.
And a few people just pop their heads up, be like, oh, I know about a murder too.
Yeah, and there's a few people listening in going, these guys are twats. I feel like that's Twitter, but then I feel like Facebook is like meeting up with your mates, cup of tea, almost like an AA meeting for murder.
Like, we all know we've got a problem here.
And we're all accepting and we're all helping each other out. And you can be, it's a safe space.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I don't know, it's nice on Facebook and it's like busy on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I love both.
I like it when someone does the crossover. I'm like, I've seen you. I've seen you around.
Yeah. And sometimes I spend so long on Twitter that afterwards I start thinking in 140 characters. I'm like, this is the length of this thought now.
Done.
Is this tweetable? Stop thinking about it.
Right, so let's crack on with some moiders. We've got bloody loads this week.
I've got two.
Lucy's got two. I think it's because she got a little bit upset that I apparently spoke a lot last week.
62%.
Approximately 62% of the time. Well, fuck you, I don't know.
I love that someone did know, though.
I just kept talking until the murder was done. So she's coming at me with two this week.
Well, they were both short, and I thought, fuck it, they're both similar. I'll do them both. There's no rules on this podcast. It's my fucking podcast.
Yeah, it's my podcast, and I'm going home. And I've also got a lovely one about paedophiles. It's Paedageddon.
Paedageddon. Mine are both about cannibalism.
Oh, really?
Just put it out there now.
God, this is a merry old time, isn't it?
I was like, it's time we did a cannibal. Ooh. Both UK, both on task. And then we've also got an email from a listener to read at the end, and that's pretty gruesome as well. So it's four in one today.
I might have to up the speed on the recording.
We're fast enough as it. You have to slow it down most of the time.
Most of the time I slow it down. It's like Gilmore Girls. We're like, meh, 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 eating food. Meh, meh, meh.
Do you know what? I felt really sad yesterday because I'd spent the whole day not watching Gilmore Girls and I was like, I've watched no Gilmore Girls today. What is my life?
I can't watch that new one.
I haven't
tried. Because of her weird puffy face.
I'm still on season one of the old one.
What?
I know.
You know nothing of Logan. You know nothing of Jess. Who are you? Gilmore Girls is shit. Don't watch it.
Oh, it's just like nothing happens. It's so comforting.
Right.
I went on a date. The end. Right, I'm doing Matthew Williams to start with. Welsh.
Okay,
in
nice.
In the valley. Matthew Williams was a crazy person. No, but I did that. Matthew Williams lived in Wales, and he was diagnosed, there's not a lot about his early life because it's UK as well, and it was also like a one-off thing. There's not a lot out there, so I'll
tell
you
what.
There's
not a lot going on in Wales. What sort of time we're talking, because even now, I'm not convinced that all of Wales has got the internet.
True.
It is like a black spot, like.
My gran's in Risker and she hasn't. So she, this is really recent. This is a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
That happened. I remember it happening.
So we could potentially write to him in prison.
No, we couldn't. Just find out why.
That's it. I just keep bringing it up, then shut me down. It's fine.
No, you'll find out why we can't write to him. Oh. So he was diagnosed with schizophrenia in 2004. Mm-hmm. His mother said he had paranoid schizophrenia. He didn't.
Oh, are you a doctor now, Mum?
Yeah, apparently. And she, and he was on medication, but he went to prison for. What did he go to prison for?
Go on, say sheep shagging. Just do it.
He went to prison for having sex with a sheep. No, he didn't. I'm half Welsh. This is offensive to me.
I'm enjoying offending you.
If we're going to piss anyone off for bad-mouthing them, it's the Welsh. Welsh people stick together. They don't take shit from no one. When Anne Robinson put Wales in a microwave on TV, the barrage of hate that she got from Wales...
Really? I thought they were really chilled out.
No.
Like, go and have some cheese on toast.
No. It's like the King of Wales, Tom Jones. He leads the masses.
For a second, I was like, shit, who's the King of Wales? Why aren't I stalking him on Twitter?
No, like, the Welsh people, they don't take shit about Wales. Like, don't badmouth Wales. Okay. We will get a barrage of hate. We love Wales. I'm half Welsh. It's fine.
All the other things, like, yes, we'll talk about the murderers, we'll talk about the pedos, we'll talk about the cannibals, but Wales, back the fuck off.
Yeah.
Some topics should not be joked about.
Yeah. So, his mother said he had paranoid schizophrenia. He went to prison, and after leaving prison, I don't know why, I'm going to put it out there, I'm sorry. And after leaving prison, he didn't really get much help with the schizophrenia. So,
right, no aftercare.
Walking around with schizophrenia, probably not getting much support. He was released from prison a few weeks before the incident, we'll call it, and he was staying in, they call it a B&B, but it's basically a homeless hostel. Where people privately own it, and they rent out the rooms for ridiculous amounts to the council because the council's got nothing else they can do with these people. So they call it a B&B, which envisions a bed
like
and breakfast.
Like a halfway house sort of thing.
But the idea of B&B and bed and breakfast, you think, oh, lovely, like nice breakfast.
Kitchy, little twee. Like,
yeah, but it wasn't like that. I don't think it was terrible. It was well run. And on the 10th of November...
It had 5-star reviews on TripAdvisor.
I've read loads about the owner. She's great. Honestly. Because I couldn't find much about the murder, but I could find loads about her. So on 10th of November 2014, he went out with some friends. Reportedly, they went out, took a cocktail of drugs. They were just off their faces. Coupled with the fact he has schizophrenia, we know that it's probably a very vulnerable situation for him.
They probably all just pulled their medication together.
Yeah, possibly. So. They were just all out on the rouse. And he met a young girl called Keris Yem, who was a 22-year-old shop worker from Wales. She was local. And she, despite the fact he was off his face, she went back to the B&B with him. And Mandy Miles... The hotel owner.
Oh, no.
I love Mandy Miles.
Did she allow friends to stay over, Mandy?
There was no friends allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
No
Mandy
women.
Is strict. She doesn't do that. If you come a knocking on her door and it's past 10, she's like, maybe you should consider go finding somewhere else to sleep tonight. Because you know what the curfew is. And I told you this morning over breakfast and hash browns that you would not be allowed back in.
And do you know who she had checking on them? Her son. Mandy Miles is a family organisation. Her son is checking out who's breaking the rules and who's not. So she said she was told that Williams had been in prison for theft, although I haven't confirmed or denied that.
You're involved in the case. I cannot confirm or deny.
But there were rumours that it was something to do with assaulting his ex-partner.
Right.
So he was a bit more dangerous than she suspected. She said about 12:30... her son came to her and told her that Williams had a girl in his room.
What a weener.
Mum,
Derek, he's got a girl in his room and he's going to have sex and I never do it. Only when you let me on Sundays.
This isn't Fred and Rose.
Sorry. Just because they're Welsh.
It sounds a bit like it might be. How did he know? Peephole, Fred and Rose.
I think he'd heard something. He hadn't signed in that night and wasn't supposed to have guests, obviously. So she went to check on the situation.
What is she expecting to find? Like, you know he's got a girl in there. You're going to go check on him. You're going to see something you don't want to see.
I think so. I think that was the idea. I mean, I don't think she was getting off on it, but I think she was like, I'll catch him in the act, and then I'll hold it against him.
I would
him.
Never want to catch someone in the act. I'd be like, I'll catch you after. Yeah. I'll catch you in the morning.
I'll just leave him for a moment. I mean, she camped out outside his room, bless her. So she went upstairs, and another resident said they had heard a girl shouting for help. So I think this is the point. She was like, well, this might not necessarily
be
consensual.
It depends who she was asking for help, because if she was asking Jesus, then maybe she was just enjoying it.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Not I don't ask Jesus for help in sex anyway.
So she banged on the door and she asked Williams to open it, and he responded by saying he was exercising, which might not have been untrue. You know, sometimes
60 calories a minute,
69 position. You've got to have some upper thigh muscles for that. She assumed he was having sex.
Well done, Mandy, woman of the world.
Yep. She's like, I've seen this before. So she got the key from the office. She went back upstairs. I don't know why there's this level of detail, but this is what we need to know. And opened the door to his room. And when she opened it, she saw Williams eating the face and eyeball of Kerish Yeh. That, I mean, you weren't expecting that, surely.
I know, I just caught it in your notes and then...
Genuinely eating her face.
Oh,
that poor,
shit.
Poor girl. I know. Horrific. She realised Kerish was dead.
Oh, well done.
And she locked the door and she phoned the police, which is what you would do. Oh. And I remember this being on the news and it was absolutely gobsmacking. Now, straight away, people didn't know. They just knew someone had died. But then it started to transpire what a horrific, horrific thing had happened. So police arrived and opened the door and they tasered Williams because obviously they were like, holy shit, this is horrific. We've got to sort of subdue him. Now, I don't know what happened, but he died from being tasered. Oh. So they tasered him to death. I don't know if they freaked out. I don't think they did anything untoward. I think it would maybe where they hit him or...
Yeah.
But I know that he died. So there was...
Because I was going to say, I wonder what... Obviously, like, what his justification was. Like, his other crimes hadn't been of that nature, and then just to suddenly be like, yeah, I'm going to eat people now. Like, he must have had some sort of... He must have a narrative that
I
led
think
to
it must have been some sort of delusion.
Yeah, but we'll never know.
And so after the incident, it was revealed that Kerish Yeh had died from a sharp trauma to the face and neck. I mean,
yeah, his fucking teeth.
Yeah. I mean, we can only hope that it wasn't and it was before that, because to go through that... And then, it's beyond belief. But Mrs. Miles is still running the B&B.
Oh, well done, love.
She's not using that room. She took the door off the room.
What, so it's just an open room? So anyone can look in it, but you can't stay.
I mean, I don't know if she's making money off that, but I know you
just got a red rope.
But what it made me think of is, I don't know if you've heard of it, but Tim McLean, the Greyhound bus killing in America. I think it's been on Sword and Scale. But that was... a really awful murder where and if you don't know about it, you know, have a look online if you're interested. But it was a young man was on the bus, on a Greyhound bus. Now I think it's a bit like the Megabus.
Yes.
So it's dodgy as fuck. Like, indeed. You're never gonna have a nice time.
Everyone's
on the
either running from something.
Everyone smells a bit.
Yeah.
It's dirt cheap tickets.
Carrying a plastic bag with their own shitty pants in.
Basically, yeah. And you might get nits if you put your head on the seat and have a little nap. So Tim McLean was a passenger on this bus, and a man sat next to him, just there with his headphones on, and all of a sudden, this guy got up...
Ate his face!
Pulled out a knife, and I think he stabbed him to death. And I'm
doing
what,
while the bus is in motion?
While the bus was in motion. Everyone was like, what the hell's going on? Bus stopped... Everyone got off. They were standing by the bus and just waiting for police. The police took about 4 hours to come. And while they were waiting for the police, this man hacked bits off Tim McLean started eating them.
And they just cut his head off. They're watching it.
Cut his head off. Came to the door. They barricaded the door. Came to the door with the head and just dropped it. I mean, it was just horrendous. Now, this isn't even my second murder. This is just bonus. Bonus from America. We've always got to go one better, haven't you? But it was just...
I'm just not going to say anything this week.
It was disgraceful. I mean,
Lucy talked 100% of the time.
But the murderer of Tim McLean, and that was schizophrenia as well, he was put into an asylum rather than, or a facility rather than prison. He's out living his life now. I know there's a lot of controversy. He's on medication, but he's out in the community, sort of living a normal life. Don't know how I feel about that. Okay, so my second murderer is Anthony Morley.
More murders from you.
More, yeah, round two. He was born 1972. He lived in Leeds, which is West Yorkshire, and he had dreams of being a dancer, which doesn't necessarily mean he was gay.
Doesn't necessarily, but...
But he was gay. Well, it's debatable.
He shagged a lot of men.
He had sex with men. He was very drawn to men, and he... had relationships with men, but he never sort of embraced that about himself. He didn't really want to be a homosexual. He didn't really ever come out, so to speak, which will seem interesting, seeing as the prize he won when he was sort of in his 20s. But his first homosexual relationship was during his teenage years. So, I mean, that was relationship. That wasn't even like a one-off. That was sort of like an overtime thing. But he was really confused about his sexuality. He told people he wasn't gay. He never really came out. He never really embraced it. But people knew about the relationship. In 1993, considering that he didn't want to be known as gay, he entered Mr. Gay UK.
Yeah, he was gay.
He was gay. And he won a prize, and he won £1,000.
So he was a good gay as well. He was the best gay in the UK at that time.
Mr. Gay UK. I mean, he was an icon for gay men going around.
He was the gay mascot and wet dream of every gay man at this point.
And he was in a long-term relationship at this time with a woman.
What?
With a woman!
Mr. Gay UK.
He went on to Mr. Gay UK, won Mr. Gay UK, long-term relationship with a woman. He won £1,000 on a holiday. I presume he took the woman on the holiday with him. I mean, if you're going to sort of rub it in the face of Mr. Gay UK, TLC,
whatever. That's got to violate some of the... Although, I don't know, do you think they're just really like, anything goes, we don't discriminate against anybody, even those that are still shagging women?
I think the one thing that you've got to be to win Mr. Gay UK is probably gay. That's probably the one proviso they have.
I'm going to be checking out all future Mr. Gay UKs.
Yeah.
We should like try and honey trap them.
We should try and seduce Mr. Gay every year just to make sure. Because if they're not into us, they're obviously gay.
Must be gay.
He did admit that he had experimented with men, but he wasn't open about... He said, I'm not gay. I know I won the competition, but I'm not gay. Which I would say, decrown him then.
Yeah,
sorry,
of course.
No.
I don't want you representing the gay community if you are ashamed of being gay.
No.
No, fuck off.
No. So after winning, he moved to London and he started to try and pursue a career in modelling and dance. So he was like, right, screw this, I'm moving to London.
Just pirouetted his way out of Leeds.
Yeah.
I'm off. See you later.
And he became, what's that gay guy, Louis
Spence.
Yeah, he changed his name. No, he didn't.
Developed a speech impediment.
He got to London and obviously he was looking for work. First thing he did was appear on a dating show hosted by Davina McCall.
Nice.
For, it was for gay dating, or it was a gay episode, or
you know she'll have been highbrow throughout the entire thing.
I was thinking how we could explain who Davina McCall is to Americans, or any non-British, or anyone who doesn't know who she is. She's sort of like a hyperactive...
Very hyperactive. Like, everything that she's talking about is going to be the most interesting thing that she's ever seen or ever heard, even if it is completely banal.
Everything's amazing. Everything's the most exciting thing ever. Always pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Bangs them out.
Yeah.
Bangs them out on the reg.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, he's just probably shooting it up her with a super soaker.
So he was...
on this dating show, nothing really came out of that, but that's kind of like how he tried to further his career. Didn't really get anywhere in London.
Did he try a dinner date?
I don't think
come
it was
down with me. Any other food-based programming?
He was definitely one of those people that goes around or applies for everything.
There's that Britney Spears impersonator who has done everything.
Yes. She's X done, Factor.
Yeah, she did Britain's Got Talent, Dinner Day, she didn't do Take Me Out, but like every shit thing she can get on. Yeah. I think she's called Lorna. Look her up. She's got a weird melty face. She looks like if Britney was melted. Like, oh, Derek Barry's got nothing to worry about at this point.
I love Derek Barry. He is Britney. I know exactly who you mean. And it's just because she wears, like, the sort of the Britney costume and she's blonder than her a little bit.
Yeah. And she's probably not even a real blonde, Lucy. Just like he's not a real gay. Everything's a lie!
So,
Davina's not pregnant!
Morley returned to Leeds, and instead of pursuing these dreams, he sort of kind of realised, forget it, I'm going to have to get a normal job.
Aww.
As we all do. So he began training as a chef, and he gained a job as a sous chef in a seafood restaurant. I mean, a sous chef, I think, is like a second chef, isn't
they
it?
They just do the chopping.
Really? So it's like the sort of workman of the chef world.
Yeah. I chopped your carrots, here you go.
And as many chefs do, because of the late hours and stuff, he started to get an alcohol problem.
And of course.
Of course. I think that's the known thing.
Is
it? A lot of them, like, work evenings. I mean, I'm sorry if I'm wrong and you're a chef and you're perfectly sober, but there's obviously something a little bit wrong with you. You're listening to a murder podcast, so there is that. But they do the long hours. They're in sort of, like, the catering industry. They unwind after work. They tend to go for a drink and then...
Drinking makes you hungry. Some of my best culinary creations have been when drunk.
Name one.
Boiled rice, fried egg, tuna. Just literally everything that was in the cupboard that night. Tastes even better once you've dropped it on the floor once.
Oh, God. I reckon if you put in some salad cream and mixed it up, it'd probably be all right.
That wasn't the other night. The other night, everyone else went to McDonald's and I was like, I'm too sick to get out of the car. So I just sat. They gave me a bag for life and apparently I just sat with it on my head. In the car. Sam had to come check if I was still breathing underneath. I was like, yeah, I'm fine.
Brilliant. That's a good night. So Morley began a 5-year relationship with a man called Sean Wood, and during this time he was reported to have attacked Sean Wood with a meat cleaver when arguing about money. So he was kind of known for being a little bit aggressive,
bit of a temper,
bit of a bitch fight. And he also threatened ambulance staff with an air rifle when they arrived.
Oh, shit.
So someone phoned the ambulance.
And no, I want him to die. Leave him.
I mean, at least it's the UK. It's only an air rifle.
I know, but they still hurt.
Yeah, but it's probably not going to kill anyone. So following his relationship with Sean, Morley dated a woman for 3 years. So he was kind of like in and out of relationships, quite long-term relationships, but he sort of... was with men, worked with women. He reportedly couldn't come to terms with his sexuality again. He reportedly said he wanted to be normal, which I assume he meant straight, not a murderer.
I just want to be a normal abusive boyfriend. Yeah. What's wrong with that? I just want a woman that I can slap about.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no reports of him having slapped her about, to be fair. I think he kind of... They, I don't know.
No, I'm not saying he did, but just like clearly that, you know, the idea that it was more acceptable to be, I don't care. Yeah. I don't care if I'm known for my violent behaviour, just as long as they don't know about my loving relationships with men.
Yeah. So his victim was named Damien Oldfield, and they had been dating for a few months, and he had coincidentally been at the audience of the Davina McCall TV show when
he was on.
But I don't think he'd picked him out as his date.
It's like bloody sliding doors or something.
So Oldfield and Morley had been exchanging texts and they went to Morley's house.
Where Oldfield and Morley... Sorry.
Like a double act. So they went to Morley's house and Morley had texted, because they had the evidence, Morley had texted Oldfield saying he wanted to take things slowly. So he didn't want to rush. I think he was kind of like hesitant to get in another relationship with a man.
Just want to be friends.
Yeah, and...
sure.
Morley had cooked fish for them both,
And then they went to bed. And I mean, this is beautiful. They kissed, cuddled, and they watched Brokeback Mountain.
Aww.
It was quite sweet.
One of my friends from school, he's gay now, and the way that he came out to us was because he was like, oh, you know Brokeback Mountain? I really like it. I'm like, yeah, I like it too. It's quite good. He was like, no, I really like it. The tent scene, I liked that. And we were like, oh, okay. And he bought the soundtrack and everything. We had to endure that a lot.
I mean, I guess from then on, that was...
Oh, yeah. Loves it. We chat about RuPaul all the time.
Brilliant. So Molly fell asleep, and then apparently he woke to find Oldfield performing a sex act on him, which he told him he wanted to take it slow. Technically, that's rape. I mean, it's non-consensual sex act, isn't it?
You can't really consent if you're asleep.
Yeah, so Morley just was not happy. He was like, I told you I wanted to take it slow. You've totally betrayed me. So he...
Although giving him the signals of, you know, we've kissed, we've cuddled, we've stayed in bed together. Not saying it's right.
Doesn't make it consensual.
Doesn't make it consensual.
He's pouring tea down his throat.
Yeah.
So in response, he picked up a knife and he stabbed Damien Oldfield in the throat to death. So Damien died. Now here is where we link to the past murder that I've just looked at. He then, and you might have heard about this, I remember hearing about this on the news, he then cut chunks out of his flesh from his body and he cooked them and he tried to eat them. So I don't really know what the thought process was there. I think, do you think
he was like, you tried to give me a lovely blowjob this morning. It was so abhorrent to him that just eating him. Eating him's fine.
Well, I think he was like, look, I've killed someone now.
Let's make the best of
it. I'm probably never going to be around a dead body again.
Oh, God.
Might as well see what it tastes like. In for a penny, in for a pound.
If you came across a dead body, you'd be like, oh, I'm not going to get this opportunity again.
I don't know.
Let's mess with it.
If I was a chef, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't normal behaviour. Sorry, chefs. You all want to eat cannibals.
Ooh, look at this bit of roadkill.
I'm a chef. I wish I was eating people. So there'd been no sign of struggle to suggest that the attack was from behind. So he kind of said it was sort of self-defence. But
defending himself against his love.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't even know if the sex act was true. This is his story.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't really know if this was all just kind of a convoluted story to kind of swing it on his favour. There were lots of theories discussed as to why he had killed Oldfield. Some people said that maybe he did perform the sex act and it brought back flashbacks of being raped when he was younger. Or that he was in a dissociative state and he really wasn't in control of his actions, which maybe we could say about the killing of Tim McLean. But nothing sort of got him off the charge and he received life imprisonment, so he's probably out by now. If it's in the UK. If not, in another 5 years, if he's good. So that's Anthony Morlow.
Interesting. Right, so a couple of times now we've appealed to the Facebook group for suggestions on murderers to do.
And then completely ignored them.
And completely ignored them. So I thought that I had better act upon one of them this week. And I chose one that seemed simple, but is definitely fucking not.
Oh.
It looked like it was the way it was presented to me, Facebook group member, was the simple murder of one boy. No, it is in fact the beginning of a huge police operation attempting to bring down a paedophile ring, which I found extremely overwhelming at the time. I'm not usually emotionally involved in the cases, but I had the queen of all hangovers yesterday and just reading about it had me in a mess. I mean, I should have known it was going to go wrong. I couldn't reach the zap, the remote. And so ended up watching the entire film of The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Don't know if you know this film. It's disgusting. It's the story of a miracle child that's brought to these parents who then force him to engage in activities that he hates until he dies an early death.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Disney fucked up on that one. So after crying at the little dead leaf boy I then started reading about dead real boys, and it just went downhill from there.
I can imagine.
So, thank you, Facebook group member. This is for you, begrudgingly.
You ruined this for us.
You ruined my life.
Oh, it's just a job.
So, this story sort of meanders a little bit. So, I'm going to start with 1985. And a boy called Jason Swift goes missing. He did
sounds
go...
Sounds like a Dickens character.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he was a little bit of a...
I'm Jason Swift.
He was a bit of a Dodger-type character, out and about, ducking and diving, renting and prostituting. His brother alludes to the fact that he went to a special school, but I'm not sure if it meant... special school.
Specially good.
Yes. But it did say that he was of low intelligence. But the school, this special school, gave the children bus cards so they could go about. This was in the London area. And Jason would often, just once he had the bus card, that was it. He was often absconding from school.
I mean, like, bloody saving some money.
Oh, for sure.
Bloody tube prices. That would be brilliant.
So he'd go, he'd leave for school in the morning and then just ride the buses or go into central London, like, hang out in cafes, hang out in arcades.
Out and about town in London. And then be getting up to some great hijinks, wouldn't they?
Oh, yeah. Massive hijinks.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Things which weren't so lovely in the end. The circumstances around why he was able to go missing, like, are all there. So he'd spent time in foster homes. He was back with his mum and dad was separated. He had an older sister that lived on the other side of... the town where they lived, so he was able to play everyone off against each other and say to his mum, oh, I'm going off to stay at my sister's, say to his sister, oh, I'm at mum's, and he could just be gone for days at a time and no one would know about it. He'd just be out and about.
That old chestnut, I'm just staying at this person's house.
Yeah,
I only ever did that once, and my parents would never check up on me. I'd say, I'm going round this person's house, not a word was said. Great, I'll see you when you get home. The one time I had a secret boyfriend and I said I was going to my friend's house, they phoned the friend.
Why?
And they never phoned the friend. And then she said, oh no, I haven't seen her. So obviously I had to come clean at a secret boyfriend, which was a friend of their son, which is why I didn't want to tell them. But Yeah, I was mortified. That was back before the mobile, where you can just lie and barefaced wherever you are.
I stayed at your house a lot of times when I was really having sex.
Stayed at my house. I don't think you told me that I was the cop-out.
No, which you probably should have done.
I've also been the cop-out for a full-scale affair as well. It's like, oh, Lucy's phoning you again. Yeah, I was saved in the phone as a...
No way!
Yeah!
That's not fun. I'm obviously
a good wingman.
So he was able to sort of get around people, and so one time they knew that he'd gone for a while. He'd taken something, apparently his most beloved possession was a Monopoly set that he would take with him. And I mean, it sort of just lets you know he was 14 years old, but it just shows that he was still quite young, and that he thought, well, this is a useful piece of equipment to take with me as I move out.
Carried around a Monopoly set.
Yeah.
In case anyone's up for a game.
Yeah.
It's not the kind of thing you can play on the go either. Do you want a quick bus journey? Do you want to play Monopoly? Like, it's... You've got to be ready for 2 days.
Oh, it's a day's worth. Oh, yeah. I hate it. I won't play it with my brothers.
It's the most stressful. I don't think I've ever got to the end of a game of Monopoly.
I like a game where the rules are the rules. I don't like this negotiating and where you have to ask people if they will sell you something, because their answer is always no. They're dicks. They will bankrupt themselves before they allow me to buy anything.
And also, if I'm playing a game, I want to commit to an hour tops. Like, there's no need for this to be a 4-hour long drawn out experience where no one ever really seems to get to win. And the only person who wins just sort of shits on everyone else.
We're such bad losers, aren't we?
I hate Monopoly!
I
do love the top hat though.
So this one particular time, Jason Swift had gone for a few weeks. He'd been sending postcards and cards home to his mum saying, oh, I'll come see you soon. But he wasn't living at home. And he became involved in this paedophile ring that was led by Hissing Sid Cook. Hissing Sid was his nickname.
But, so it's like Oliver Twist, but the fucked up
version.
But
with a lot more sex, yeah. But looking at the pictures of Sid Cook, I think sagging Sid would be more appropriate. He has that full turkey gizzard jowly.
Like, he's like the ringleader, like the consider yourself.
Yeah, but he's definitely not hot enough to lure a child on looks alone. Like, he had to use other things. So he definitely preyed on boys like Jason, young, vulnerable, homeless often, offering them shelter and food and the opportunity to make some money by attending his parties. And basically, cost of entry to one of these parties, £5 each.
They have to pay to get in.
Yeah, men would pay to come to these parties.
Oh, the men would pay.
Yeah, right. And then they'd all have a go on whichever boy present at the time.
What the party bag would be. That's a really bad taste joke. Leave it in, though.
So apparently Jason was involved with them for quite a while. Cook was a fairground worker and had lived on the same estate as Jason had. And Jason's letters and postcards home alluded to the fact that he was going off to join the fair. So they thought probably travelling around with him, maybe doing some work there and getting involved with these. Cook became, about a week before Jason's body was discovered, Cook was brought to the attention of the police. Because several parents in round there of schools in the Hackney, Stoke, Newington area were reporting this black Jaguar cruising past the schools and trying to entice boys into his car. So the police followed the plates and eventually found that it belonged to Sid Cook.
So I think they got like one of those whole school emails. It's like, good, car's been spotted driving near the school.
We're like, who actually does? Like, he really didn't seem to think that he could get caught. Like, I can literally drive past schools and just in broad daylight be just telling children to get in my car.
Yeah.
And I mean, luckily none of them did at that point. So the police arrested him and he admitted to gross indecency, but did not admit to attempting to abduct any of the children. So I don't know quite what he said he was doing. I think he said, yeah, I was hanging around schools looking at the boys, but I never did anything about it. So that just was not followed through. That was left. He was just put
on the list. Fair enough then.
Yeah, if you want to look at boys, fine.
We're all against that.
So that was that. But then, like I say, a week later, in December 1985, a dog walker,
ding ding ding,
discovered the naked body of a boy in a shallow grave that turned out to be Jason Swift.
I'm starting to get suspicious of these dog walkers.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's a cover-up.
Well, I heard one thing said a dog walker, and then another thing that I saw said that he was out shooting, which made me question this person anyway, because either you were out shooting...
Why are you shooting in the UK?
I think it was on, like, farmland.
Oh.
But then why would he... I guess he could have been shooting with a dog. But I think, and whether, but then I was like, well, why did they not say that he was out shooting with his dog? They just omitted the shooting part, maybe because they thought this guy's a bit creepy. We don't actually want to make him look creepy. Anyway.
Yeah, if you're walking around with a gun and a dog, I think the dog walking's secondary to the walking around shooting stuff.
Yeah. So he found it, and then the post-mortem revealed that the cause of death had been asphyxiation, but there'd been signs of repeated sexual abuse.
Right.
So during this investigation into trying out who actually killed Jason Swift, another body was found of a six-year-old boy, Barry Lewis. And this was very similar.
Barry.
Yeah.
Who calls a kid Barry?
He was really cute as well.
Aww, little Barry.
Little Barry.
Little baby Barry.
So he was from the same area. The bodies were found within 10 miles of each other. Very similar circumstance. He was naked, a shallow grave, and aww, cause of death was asphyxiation.
Not
terrible. So then this began Operation Stranger.
Right.
Where the police began to pool their evidence and resources and started interviewing rent boys in the Essex London area to try and gather some evidence on who this could be. While they were doing this, they'd carried out some further post-mortems on the bodies and found that while they were both sexually abused and strangled, there was evidence that Jason had died during a sex act.
Right.
So this, along with what the rent boys were saying, was basically that they knew who he was, they'd seen him around, they knew who was with this gang. The police now understood that there is a violent paedophile ring at work who are sadistically abusing these boys.
Right, so they're onto them and they're... Okay. That's
they good. Weren't just looking for a one-off guy. This was an organisation that was happening.
Good police work.
So a guy called Robert Oliver was arrested.
I mean, that's just two first names, isn't it?
Yeah, another worry. What are you doing with yourself? Robert Oliver was arrested for indecent acts on children while under the pretense of babysitting. Now, you look at the pictures of this guy, he is...
Like, you wouldn't ask him to babysit.
Yeah, he's like cartoon pedo. Like, the big rimmed glasses.
Jumper. Mustard colour jumper.
Yeah. You see, I don't even need to do the work.
Beige trousers.
Little sweaty, oily hair across. Yeah. Like, everything that you would see your stereotypical pedophile, you're totally unstereotypical babysitter.
Yeah.
So while he was arrested, the police were just trying to link who might have done these other paedophile murders. So they just were questioning people about Jason Swift on the off chance. But Oliver actually then named Sidney Cook and a couple of others, Lenny Smith, and said that they used the shoe shop where Robert Oliver worked as a pickup point for rent boys, that they would often come, bring boys over for them to meet, things like that. I mean, this Oliver guy is really interesting. He's changed his name a lot of times while in prison. He's changed his name to something now like Curtis or something.
I think he just found out that you can legally change your name to anything and was like, fuck it.
Just starts doing it.
Not sticking with Robert Oliver.
I mean, at one point he changed his surname to Cook, which is bizarre why you would do it to the name of someone you're accusing.
Yeah.
The police described this guy as being pathetic and said he was just a completely pathetic character. And those of you who are playing along with Serial Killer Bingo, his mother, when he was a child, insisted on dressing him in girls' clothes. And sending him to school dressed as a girl. The teachers used to have separate clothes at school so they could change him when he arrived.
I think they should just be on the lookout for all these things and sort of identifying serial killers at the age of 7.
I mean, others you might have heard of, Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole, both of those said that their mothers forced them to dress as girls when they were younger.
Do you think there's a lot of kids being forced to dress as girls? Grow up to be absolutely normal people, though.
Yes, this is what I think. I mean, just being misgendered doesn't automatically make you a serial killer. Because, I mean, as a lot of the trans community can probably tell you, it's not going to lead you to be a murderer. I think it's more the humiliation, the fact that the relationship with your parents is fucked up.
And they're forcing you, isn't it? Like that overbearing mother.
They're forcing you to be something you're not. Like those bastard parents in The Odd Life of Timothy Green, who, even though he was a really talented artist, forced him to play football because they thought that football was more impressive. And then he died!
Let him die! Sorry, Billy Elliot again.
So Oliver had a pretty weird-ass childhood, and then he has also ended up as a rent boy himself as a younger person. So he wasn't really in a great position. He led them to his flatmate, Leslie Bailey, who then started to talk to police and admitted that he described... Oh, I went into the living room and saw Oliver and Sydney Cook and this Lenny Smith were all stood around, and the body of Jason Swift was just laying on the sofa face up. And I was like, he's dead. And they were like, no, he's ill. We're going to take him to the hospital. Rolled him up in a blanket, stuffed him in the car and drove off. It was his initial story.
Because that's the usual way of getting someone to hospital. Yeah. He's sick. Just roll them up in his blanket. We're protecting them.
So then he said that he'd seen this from certain positions on the estate. They took him back to where it happened and made him point it out, and realised you couldn't have seen them put him in this car unless you were actually with them. You couldn't have been where you said you were. So he's also described by the police as being an intellectual lightweight. Not quite.
That's which a very diplomatic way of saying it.
I liked that term. I was thinking, I'm going to start using that. And admitted that, yes, he had been involved in disposing of the body, had seen things, and just cracked. So, all four of them went to trial for this murder. Now, the main source of evidence was their testimonies, and they all blamed each other for what had happened. Like, every member of the gang was just ratting out the others. So, it was really difficult to get a solid conviction. Lenny Smith was not convicted, and the others were all just convicted of manslaughter, claiming that we were doing a sex on him, and he accidentally died. I mean, and then we disposed of his body naked and in a shallow grave. Like, their story is that they panicked and got rid of it. But so they only got about 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, I bet those 15 years were... I mean, once you get... If people in prison know what you're in for and they know it's that, you're not going to have a good time in there.
Definitely not. Lenny Smith, though he went free, was under surveillance and was later caught doing a George Michael, but with a kid. In a public toilet, so he was sent to prison again. And while these guys were in prison, they began another operation. Operation
Slaughter.
No, for some reason, Operation Orchid.
Oh,
delightful. But they began this because they began this because they thought, okay, we've got this pedo gang. I prefer the term pedo gang to pedophile ring. I feel like ring makes it seem a lot nicer.
Like, I don't know, a pedo gang sounds cooler though.
Oh, do you think?
That's something that's definitely not cool.
That's a bit more Gary Glitter.
Pedo gang. Well, you can't be in our pedo gang.
Yeah, you only want to sleep with old people. Ew. So, Operation Orchid. They were convinced, like, okay, they've done these two. They're a group. They're sort of organised in the best way that they're intellectually challenged people could. And so they must...
Sorry, intellectual lightweight.
Oh, that was it, intellectual lightweight, sorry.
Well, the best thing about that phrase is if you are an intellectual lightweight, you probably won't understand what it means.
So yeah, they were trying to find other murders that they might be linked to of other missing boys around the time, particularly Barry Lewis, the six-year-old that went missing before, and Mark Tildesley, a seven-year-old boy, which is the person that the Facebook group... mentioned, didn't tell me all this other shit. They're like, oh, Mark Tildesley was killed.
You could just talk about that one. No, you can't.
So his case was quite well known. He went missing a year before Jason Swift's death in 1984, but a body was never found. He was just... So there was searches, the military came into search, posters were put up in every police station looking for him. He was featured on the first episode of Crime Watch, which brilliant. Obviously people were loving, and... So he was known, but no, to no avail. They couldn't find his body. The story is, I mean, again, it's there's a lot of like pedo panic going round. in it though. Yeah. There's a bit of pedo panic where, like you were saying, like you get emails at your school, like there was a man in a car and he parked outside the school for 5 minutes and then drove off. You're like, right.
And everyone's like, oh my God.
Like sometimes.
The pedos are coming.
Sometimes they might just be going about their business. Yeah. So there is a bit of pedo panic, but I think it needed to happen in response to some of these. Like Jason Swift was just out on the streets. They knew he was wandering around on his own as 14 and they sort of didn't really do a lot about it. Mark Tilsley was 7 years old and he... So earlier in the day, a shop owner of a sweet shop said that Mark had been in and paid with some sweets with a 50 pence piece, which was weird because his pocket money was only 30p a week, not meaning he would ever get a 50 pence coin. And his would also take the trolleys back and get the 10p pieces, never a 50p coin. This aroused suspicion.
I love that story.
I really like the logic of she was like, what is this 50 pence? How could it have occurred?
I had a friend who hated a shopkeeper that we used to go to at like lunch break quite a lot to go to the shop. And he really hated him. And so he went in and he asked for a 50p pick and mix. No, he asked for a 49p pick and mix. He said, I want a 49p pick and mix. So they got a 50p pick and mix and said, which sweet do you want to take out? And he spent ages going over, oh, well, I quite like this. And there was a big queue for me behind him. And then he went, right, I've decided I'm going to take out this. Well, no, wait. Just kept changing his mind. Eventually decided on one, then paid with a 50p.
Nah. Yeah, he sounds like a bellend. So she later also, it's believed that a man outside gave him the money to pay for it and then offered to pay for rides at the local fair that evening if he would come and meet them. So parents waved him off on his bike to go to the fair. By 7 years old, off to the fair on the rain. I mean, he said he was going to meet some friends, but he didn't meet them. He just went alone. I mean, I used to go out on my bike in the evenings. Maybe not as young as seven, maybe like 8, 9, 10, but never to like the fair. It was like I'm on the street outside the house.
Yeah.
Or outside my friend's house. I don't know about
it. It's pretty young, isn't it?
To be going off to a busy crowd thing like that. So and then he disappeared. His bike was found chained up outside the fair, but he never met them. So I would say widespread search, nothing. So as part of Operation Orchid, they start to get quite a wealth of evidence from a man named Ian Gubb, who was a convicted rapist, but with morals.
Oh.
Right, I will have sex with people against their will if they're over 16.
Yeah.
Like, the fact... But if you're going to do it to a child, no, I'm taking umbrage with it. Like, raping people to a point.
I feel like that's quite common, though. It's kind of like, you know, when people who've been convicted of being paedophilic go to prison and it's like all the other criminals turn on them like, we've done shit to people but we've never touched a child, you're a fucking prick.
Yeah, so pretty much. And it says his reason, his motivation for coming forward was literally that he was so disgusted by their crimes that he wanted to have them brought to task for it, and he even offered to have extra time on his sentence so he could help them with their investigation Yes, if we're going to try and put crimes on a scale of, like, okay to terrible, paedophilia is coming down the bottom. But when a rapist's telling me about it, yeah. I'm like...
I mean, raping's not so great either. That's ruining lives as it is.
Yeah, like, I'll hear it from someone else, but rapist, you just pipe down. Yeah? Just know your place. So anyway, he shared a cell with Bailey and... began to work as an informant. So he shared this cell and was like trying like mining for information about his crimes, and Bailey was the one that had cracked before with the police and got them convicted the first time, so of course it wasn't tricky to get him to speak again about how he'd murdered Barry Lewis and Mark Tilsley. They then took Gab and basically just put him in the cells with the others. Like, they moved him, okay, now you can stay with Oliver for a little while, have a chat to him, okay, a couple of months later, now go and share a cell with Cook. Which, in actual fact, is quite terrifying, thinking that you're having to live in such close quarters with these people.
Yeah.
These really violent, awful people. And Cook apparently would just not stop talking about sex acts and children, that he boasted about killing numerous children, said 15 was the most common number he kept coming out with that he'd personally killed, and that he would talk about sex acts he wanted to commit in the future in squeals of delight, is how Gab put it. Which just seems, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he's exaggerating for
exactly. That's what I feel. I'm like, of course he's horrible, but...
I mean, who's he talking to? Like, wouldn't stop raving about killing children. Who's listening to that?
Yeah, Gab. He was just sat there.
Tell me more about the children that you want to murder. Faced.
So, like I said, Bailey confessed to his involvement in the murders and was charged. They hoped that this would enable them to get Cook et al. Also convicted of the further murders. But yet his confession, Bailey's confession, then put him in the position of ringleader of this paedophile group, because he'd said that he'd been involved in them and had admitted to it. So the others then went to appeal and had their sentences reduced for the murder of Jason Swift, because Bailey was now this mastermind paedophile that was orchestrating everything.
So they went overboard to get him locked up, but then inadvertently let out all the others.
So in 1993, Leslie Bailey, who had admitted to everything, like you say, the prisoner turned on him, he was murdered. Strangled in his cell by two other inmates who were also convicted for his murder. Like I said, everyone knew him. His name was widely out there. They wanted rid. Like I say, Lenny Smith, the one that was implicated but hadn't been convicted at that point in 1992, he was sentenced again for rape against children and died of age-related illnesses in 2006. I mean, it's worrying. Like, these guys were... They were reoffending all the time.
Yeah.
Like, they suspected them. You knew when they weren't convicted, they were obviously still out there doing stuff. Sidney Cook was in the news quite a lot because he was released in 1998 after serving his time. And there was, like, huge protests. I mean, I watched a clip of a particular protest about him. But that in itself is quite terrifying. I would watch it. It was almost like it's almost identical to a scene from Brass Eye. Have you seen
Piedergeddon?
If you probably you the Americans not so much, but I would recommend just YouTube Piedergeddon Brass Eye.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's like a fake.
I mean, it's risky humor, but it's
yes.
If that's your kind of humor, you'd find it hilarious.
Definitely risky humor, but and it, like in the premise of like a news show.
Yeah.
But the scenes were identical. There's one in Piedergeddon where they're doing a protest about a paedophile, and they throw a mannequin at them, the crowd are tearing it apart. And then in real life, they had this mob outside where Sidney Cook was being released, and they had children all over involved in it, and they were interviewing these children saying, "Why are you here?" And they're like, "Because a bad man is gonna take me and hurt me."
Oh,
and they were crying, these kids. I'm like, your parents have got you so shit up that you're gonna get abducted and raped, and then they're taking you along to these rallies. Like, that doesn't make me think, oh, I feel sorry for the children. I feel sorry for the children because they're living with you. People were outraged by it, but he was rearrested within a year and sentenced for assaults that he carried out back in the 70s. There were two brothers that had gone around travelling in the fair with him, and he would repeatedly just sexually abuse them, like, for years and
so
years and
like
years.
So they'd, like, come forward when they'd seen
yes,
his face.
Yes, they'd come forward, seen he was released, and were like, look, now's the time for us to speak out and get him sent away. So he's still...
And that's tricky to get someone sent away for something that was so many years ago based on...
Oh, definitely. As we've seen with all the other... With the current... Well, it's not that current right now, but all the Jimmy Savile current paedophile things going on. It's difficult when it's years ago, but they managed it.
Yeah.
So then last of all, there's just old little Robert Oliver, our little, I was going to say little cute. He is a sad figure. It's hard. He's doing a proper pedo thing, but he's such a little weaselly wormy guy that you just think, ugh.
No, I don't feel sorry for him.
I don't feel sorry for him, but... Like, there's nothing... Like, the Cook and the others were clever, and they were vicious, and they were horrible. Robert Oliver is just a fucking... Bleh.
Yeah.
So he's also back in prison. He was released, but then violated the order that prevented him from having children within so many metres of his house. So they don't think he actually committed another act.
It's like he's walking towards a kid, and the alarm stops. Step away from the child.
So he's back in prison now too, changing his name every other day because, like I say,
I hope he's being creative with them. I mean, come on. I hope it's not just Oliver Robert instead or something. Yeah.
I'm not sure. But yes, yeah, so that was a really weird one. Not super funny, but I hope you're happy now.
You asked for it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Thank you, Facebook group. You done good.
No, definitely look into it more. I mean, there's a documentary that came out in the 90s that's on YouTube, which, I mean, in the 90s, they loved a dramatic reconstruction.
Yes.
Like, it took a long time to get through it because they'd say something and then act out the scene because there's no possible way we could imagine that conversation without seeing it acted out by incredibly wooden actor. But it's really interesting. And there's loads more stuff that we didn't have time to go into detail on. So, especially around the Mark Tilsley and because how the others never actually admitted to it, it is interesting. So have a bit of a research yourself.
Check it out. Thanks for listening. We did it in time.
Yay! Now you can fuck off. Get out of my house! Listening to Slaughter doesn't make you a psycho.
Killing people does.
Fucking children does.
Fucking children does make you not a psycho, an absolute.
It makes you a massive pedo.
Yeah.
And listening to Slaughter definitely doesn't make you a pedo.
But fucking children does.
Okay, bye.
We're back. I just wanted to read you this quick email from a listener, which was another messed up murder. So I'm just going to read it as is.
Double time.
I'm going to do it. On March 27th, 2004, Andre Lee Thomas, a 21-year-old man from Grayson County, Texas, stabbed his estranged wife, Laura Christine Thomas, his son Andre, and 13-month-old stepdaughter, Leia, to death, then cut the kids' hearts out and put them in his pockets. I mean, this is already the
cut
most fucked up thing.
Cut out children's hearts and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
I mean, I don't know what, like, what's the metaphor of that? I'm taking your heart and I'm saving it for later.
I carry your heart with me.
It's almost
what
beautiful.
Is that about?
He then left the home and tried to commit suicide by stabbing himself in the chest 3 times. I mean, that can't be easy. Stabbing yourself in the chest. It's almost like samurai shit, isn't it?
There's easier ways, I'm sure.
Yeah. After deciding the suicide was a failure, so that didn't work, he went home and changed his fucking clothes. She said this. Later, the same day, he called his dead wife and left the following message on the answering machine. So he knew she was dead. He killed her, but he still phoned. Sherry, this is Andre. I need your help. Something bad is happening to me, and it keeps happening, and I don't know what's going on. I need some help. I think I'm in hell. I need help. Somebody needs to come and help me. I need help bad. I basically need help.
Aww.
I'm desperate. I'm afraid to go to sleep.
I didn't mean aww.
Yeah, not aww. I'm afraid to go to sleep. So when you get this message, come by the house, please. Hello? So I don't know if he thought they'd picked up at the end, but she's dead. During his trial, he pulled out one of his own eyes.
In the trial?
During the trial, he pulled out...
Let's just
read that again. During his trial, he pulled out one of his own eyes. Then years later...
I just fingered it right out.
Just pulled it out. I mean... I can't even...
I mean, how dry was the trial? Like, you sit through boring things and you're like, oh, I'd stab myself in the eye. He was like, I'm literally going to have to pull out my own eyeball to cope with this.
Yeah. And then later, years later, plucked out his only remaining eye and ate it.
Oh, God.
I mean, that is foul. I'm sorry if you've got eye issues and you're just stressed out by this. It's disgusting. And also, that, I mean, it's going to be like a lychee, isn't it? It's not like...
Satisfying pop.
It's not going to have a crunch to it. It's just going to sort of leak. Oh, God. Texas courts declared that he was crazy but sane. Crazy but sane.
What? That's like a proper term.
I think basically they were like...
They're like, he's obviously crazy, but we want to convict him as a sane person.
That's it. And put him on death row. There's a murderpedia on him. So Thomas Andre Lee. So thank you so much for sending that email to us, and it's slaughterthepodcast@gmail.com if you want to send us any more fucked up or weird murders.
And if you don't, I'll eat my own eye.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.